From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, War God with Graham Hancock. Here's what's happening. Well, for the third day in a row, a remarkably fast 370-mile-an-hour stream of solar wind is blowing around the planet. This is causing magnetic unrest around the poles, as well as elevated levels of high-energy electrons in Earth's orbit. What does this all mean? Well, operators say that it could mean satellite systems may experience significant charging in response to accumulated electrons. So if you hear a lot of weird things, that's probably it. Over the weekend, there was a march around the world against Monsanto, protests attracting millions worldwide, all protesting genetically modified foods. And the shocking minutes relating to Russian President Putin's meeting this past week with U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is revealing that the Russian leaders are extremely outraged over President Obama's continued protection of global seed and plant biogenetic giants Syngenta and Monsanto in the face of what they say is a growing bee apocalypse. That's the dying honeybees. The Kremlin is warning it will most likely lead to a world war. In a moment, Craig Hewlett joins us. We'll talk about that, followed by Jeffrey Smith on GMOs. And Russia says it will go ahead with deliveries of anti-aircraft missiles to Syria and that the arms will help deter foreign intervention. The deputy foreign minister there says the missiles were a stabilizing factor that could dissuade some hotheads from entering the conflict. And Republican Senator John McCain, a former presidential candidate and a very outspoken advocate for U.S. military aid to the Syrian opposition, met with some of the rebels during a surprise visit to the war-torn country. Let's check in with researcher Jerome Corsi. Jerry, what do you think the meeting was all about?
Well, I think that the Obama administration is beginning to side more with the rebels. And George, there's really no good group in the Syrian conflict to support. What I'm afraid of is that if Russia begins providing anti-aircraft, you know, material weapons to Syria, and we begin supplying with weapons the rebels, we're going to be at odds with Russia and backing a side, Al-Qaeda based, that really is not a side we should be natural allies with. There's no good solution to this problem.
No, there isn't. I mean, it's a catch-22, Jerry. Assad is a lunatic. He's butchering his own people. Some 80,000 people, apparently, in Syria have already died from this conflict. But the rebels, most of them are animals, aren't they?
Well, that's the problem. Most of these rebels, many of the rebels, have come from Libya and bring with them guns that we supplied. Ambassador Stevens, before he was ambassador, was running guns to the rebels in Libya, who turned out now to be Al-Qaeda. They've gone, those rebels, from Libya through Turkey into Syria, and weapons have followed them. So a lot of our weapons are probably already being used by the rebels in Syria. And, George, if we begin lining up with the rebels, I think that puts us on the wrong side. I mean, we don't really want to be showing up around the world supporting Al-Qaeda.
Jerry, what's new with you these days?
Well, George, I've been doing lots of work. I have a book, as you know, coming out on the JFK assassination later this year. I'm looking forward to that very much. And I'm writing a book on the Battle of Bastogne in World War II, which I think will be very fascinating.
Will the JFK book be out right around December 22nd?
It will be out around September. We're pushing it to get it in the bookstores at least a month or maybe two before the anniversary of the assassination of JFK.
Okay, keep in touch. Dr.
Thank you.
Jerome Corsi. Germany's railway operator plans to deploy mini drones to catch vandals who deface its trains with graffiti, with the aerial vehicle shooting thermal images of its train depots at night. A state audit has revealed that Massachusetts has given away over $18 million in questionable public assistance benefits in recent years. The money went to 1,160 people who were either dead or using Social Security numbers of deceased people. A new SARS-like virus recently found in humans is a threat to the entire world, according to the Director General of the United Nations World Health Organization. Here we go again. It's the so-called novel coronavirus. They said it's not a problem that any single affected country can keep itself or manage all by itself. And also drug resistance has been detected in patients infected with the new bird flu that has emerged in China. According to the doctors, the H7N9 virus became resistant to Tamiflu in 3 out of 14 patients, 131 confirmed cases, 36 deaths so far. Keep in mind, just in this country alone, every year, 36,000 people die from the flu. We're talking worldwide, 36 people have died from this other virus. They're all panicking now. Let's check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center to get his regular update. Peter, what's going on up there?
Yeah, good evening, George. And I've got to stop listening to these news reports on the 10 o'clock coast to coast. It makes me want to crawl into my missile site and close the door for good.
It's all real, too.
Yeah, it is. Oh, a lot's going on. I've never seen anything like it in the 19 years I've been director of the National UFO Reporting Center. Had a little excitement last Thursday night, the 23rd of May. Cluster of reports coming in from Florida and Georgia, but it turned out to be that Delta IV missile that was launched out of Cape Canaveral, Cape Kennedy. So we were able to explain that one away, but I don't have to go back any further than two nights ago, the 26th of May, I was inundated with reports, George. Out of 43 reports that I received that evening, 33 of them were of orange lights, clusters of orange and red and yellow lights from all across the United States, most particularly Novi, Michigan.
I know it well, too.
Man and woman saw a cluster of yellow lights move across the sky, and I had just dozens and dozens of similar reports from all across the United States. I don't know what it means, but reports from Alabama, Arizona, California, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, and about a dozen other states, people reporting essentially the same thing. And once again, I'd like to make an appeal to the Coast listeners that if they have seen any of these sightings or if they know the cause of these sightings, any one of them, I would welcome a communication from them to try to resolve what's going on. I've never seen anything like it, George.
That's strange. And Peter's website, ufocenter.com, you can email him on a regular basis there. Up next, Craig Hewlett joins us. We're going to talk about what is going on with genetically modified foods. Why is Russian President Vladimir Putin so upset about the dying bee colony? And what is happening? That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. You all know Craig Hewlett by now. His book, The Hydra of Carnage. He was a speechwriter and special assistant for Congressman Jack Medcalf, retired now. He has been a consultant to federal law enforcement and other organizations for years, and here he is back on Coast to Coast. Craig, always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. So Russian President Vladimir Putin is a little upset these days, huh?
Yeah, it's never really a good thing when Vladimir Putin seems to be more compassionate and aware of the threats posed by Western corporations like Monsanto to the global environment. When he seems more upset and aware than our own president and our own government, that's never a good thing. I'm no great fan of Putin, but I do know Putin is a very rational man. He's an excellent chess player and an incredibly dangerous individual. So the way he treated John Kerry, our current Secretary of State, was actually pretty appalling. He refused to even meet with him for 3 hours. He wouldn't even talk to him. He finally was convinced to go in and sit down, and then when he sat down with him, he basically blasted Kerry based on the equivalent in Russia, the Russian Federation for Natural Resources, is kind of the equivalent of our CDC, World Health Organization, mm-hmm. and FDA, kind of all rolled into one. And they've just completed numerous studies that flies in the face of Obama signing off on H.R. 933 and especially Section 735, which basically says the federal courts cannot intervene and halt biotech companies from planting or selling GMO goods to the public, even if the testing has proven to be potentially hazardous to the general public. So we can't even stop these corporations now from producing, planting, growing, and serving the products in our own grocery stores. We can't even take it to court at this point because of Obama. Now, let me do something here that I never really planned to do, but I can't get it out of the back of my head. There was a book published by an author named Mario Palmieri. He was a German, he was a philosopher, but he was the brains behind the idea of fascism as a system of how to govern a Western society, a Western culture. Okay. I'm not talking about Nazism or jackboots. I'm talking about fascism as corporatism. Your audience needs to read this book. I don't know how many books are left or if it's in paperback, but Mario Palmieri wrote the book called The Philosophy of Fascism. There is no better treatise to explain precisely what Obama has been doing with the banking industry, with the Federal Reserve, the tax base, and now with the biotech firms. The very people that are threatening the planet, and the guy that's going to come on after me, Jeffrey...
Smith.
Smith, yes. I'm sure he could explain much better the idea of the GMO goods and services supplied by Monsanto and others better than myself. My take on it is more from the perspective that Obama is in bed with the largest monopoly multinational corporations, guaranteeing their survivability, no matter how much criminality is involved, death, suffering, on a global scale even at this point, and yet the progressive left will not come down on him and identify these actions as being, in fact, the definition of fascism.
And Craig, let me ask you this. With Putin talking about the possibility of war, because the bees are all dying around this planet, blaming, of course, genetically modified foods for this. I mean, that's pretty darn serious, isn't it?
That's deadly serious. The report that was issued that he's responding to, actually the report is responding to Obama signing this legislation protecting the very corporations, Western corporations, that are creating this environment. The environment being created is at apocalyptic proportions already. We're talking about within 20 years, maybe the world will no longer be able to feed itself on about 30 major food groups. It'll be completely wiped out. The bees will be wiped out. And instead of attacking this problem the way Switzerland is being forced to do, the European Union is taking a hard look at it. Germany, Italy, Spain, Russia, even the Ukraine is doing something about it. What are we doing? We're actually doing precisely the opposite. So Putin is angry because he's saying, look, if the Western people can't control their government, their president, their leaders, and put a stop to these things, then Russia will. And this is no idle threat.
Do you think the killing of the bees, you know, let's talk conspiracy for a moment, Craig. The killing of the bees, it's being done on purpose or just gross stupidity?
Well, FDR is the one that said nothing happens in government by accident. And when you've created a government of the corporations, by the corporations, for the corporations, and again, call it what it is. Let's stop calling it other things. It's corporatism. It is, by definition, fascism. We're creating a fascist global regime. Now, if you could buy that and understand that as a truth, there's no conspiracy attached to it. It is, in fact, a fact. It is the way it is. If you can accept that and understand that, then wouldn't you be somewhat unwise to believe that conspiracies by elite at the highest levels of government only take place in countries like Russia and China, that it never happens in America, that we're immune from criminal elements with great wealth controlling great corporations that would assassinate presidents, kings, start wars? Yes. And do whatever they choose on the planet. You know, Monsanto's on the leading edge of taking over the entire North African region to grow food for the world in that region. It is why we're at war in Libya. It's why we took out Gaddafi, was Monsanto is buying up the land to produce food crops, micro crops, macro crops. But it's their crops. It's their food. It's their wealth. And nobody's going to tell them where they can and cannot transport it. They want to go through Libya to the Mediterranean. Our government sees to it that that happens. If they want to produce products that kill off bees and kill off other produce by competitors, and they can get away with it, and they believe the planet will still survive under their tutelage, yes, I believe there is that kind of madness inherent in some of the richest, most powerful men in the world.
I think you're right. And, you know, with the bees out of the way, then you have to rely on genetically modified crops that self-pollinate and do whatever they do on their own.
And would somebody like the CEO of Monsanto, the CEO of Archer Daniels Midland, well, you
Syngenta.
Know I originally came out of the corporate world,
that's
correct?
Right. Absolutely.
I've been in those boardrooms. I've seen the war rooms at Exxon, Weyerhaeuser. And I'm telling you, these men at that level of governance in those corporations, their view of you and I, the people of this planet, we're like bugs. We're like ants and bees. We don't really matter on their scope of things. And the people in charge of their war room, they are, in fact, ex-generals, ex-FBI, ex-CIA, admirals, colonels, generals. And it is a war room. I know. I've been in it. I've seen the red pins and flags on the maps in the war rooms. They take over countries the way a war machine would take over areas of operation in a war zone.
Craig, over the weekend, millions of people participated worldwide protesting genetically modified foods all over the place. I was in Vancouver, Canada. They had about 2,000 demonstrators there. Everybody peaceful, but trying to get the message out that they're fed up, that enough is enough. How quickly did something like that spread? Was that social networking? How did all these people, this was organized and organized very well.
Yes, it was. And the fact that the mainstream media has pretended, even one outpost of the mainstream media called it comical and cartoonish. You know, that's partly the problem of those people on the left. You know, they tend to dress up in funny outfits. I mean, I'm not sure it helps to dress up like a raccoon when you're protesting the death of feral bees and the starvation of millions of people. I'm not sure that part of it's necessary. But for the mainstream media to, by and large, ignore 2 million people protesting in 400 cities worldwide, principally over a corporation as large as Monsanto. And let's be clear about something else. The revolving door, I've never not talked about. I talk about it in my book. The revolving door from the corporate world into the U.S. government under the Obama and Clinton administration has been an amazing number of Monsanto officials.
Yes, moving into the FDA and everything else.
Yes. And the sheer numbers, it's somewhere in the neighborhood. Last count, I think it was 32 individuals from Monsanto had senior major posts, including Hillary Clinton.
Well, I've got to tell you, I think this protest, which was really the first organized big one worldwide, was so necessary to get people to start waking up. But you're absolutely right. Most of the mainstream media kind of didn't even touch it. It was like it was a little local thing in this city. They didn't put it all together.
No, and to say it was cartoonish and make fun of it when it did come to light, knowing the balance of the story, that people are, in fact, dying. Monsanto was charged with poisoning the water of 52 million Americans right here in America. They were indicted. They were convicted. And it's a fact of public record. And yet these are the things that are ignored. And again, Obama just, this is why Putin was so angry. Obama just signed into law a law that says the U.S. court system, our legal system, cannot intervene.
It protects these corporations.
Yes. It's Section 735 of H.R. 933. Look it up.
All right, Craig. Thank you. Appreciate you being part of the program. Very riveting. Craig's book, by the way, The Hydra of Carnage. If you haven't read it, get it. You'll know exactly what's going on. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back in a moment, we'll talk about the protest with Jeffrey Smith, an expert on genetically modified foods. They have once predicted that major wars will be done over food and look at it unfold. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, up next, Jeffrey Smith joins us as we continue talking this hour about genetically modified foods, and we'll take your phone calls as well. And welcome back, Jeffrey Smith with us, Executive Director of the Institute for Responsible Technology and a very leading spokesperson on the dangers of genetically modified foods. Welcome back, Jeffrey. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Great to be here after the March Against Monsanto over the weekend. Huge, huge event worldwide.
How did this get so organized?
You know, it was a spontaneous thing. The person in Facebook put a little note up saying maybe we'll get a few thousand people. They ended up getting more than 2 million, and not just in the United States, 436 cities, 52 countries. And in little towns and big towns, it's been an uprising of world consciousness and world awareness against what Monsanto's trying to do to our food supply and to basically life on Earth.
Initially, Jeffrey, when scientists came up with the idea of genetically modified foods, was there good intention there?
Well, you know, when Monsanto introduced it, which was the first, their patent on Roundup herbicide, the world's most popular best-selling herbicide, was going to expire in 2000. So they wanted a way to maintain their domination. So they created Roundup-ready crops designed to withstand Roundup. But when people signed up and bought the seeds, they had to buy Monsanto's version of Roundup and not the generic. And so it was a way to sell more chemicals. The concept that GMOs were needed to feed the world was an afterthought by the public relations firms, and it actually doesn't hold water at all. Now, originally when GMOs were being discussed by the scientists, they were very concerned because it was so radical to introduce a completely new organism, not part of the billions of years of evolution, but part of the whimsy of the scientist, that would be self-replicating in the gene pool forever. They did a voluntary agreement that no one would release any GMOs. But when you find out what happened, there was a systematic way of lying to each other and to Congress and to the media, so that everyone started to think, oh, it's safe and the studies will be done, which were never done. And then they started releasing it long before the science was ready.
Jeffrey, your reaction to Vladimir Putin's outrage over genetically modified foods, claiming that it's killing off the bee population?
You know, it's interesting. I read the article, and he talks about the neonicotinoid insecticide,
yeah,
which they themselves are not genetically engineered. However, the genetically engineered corn, for example, the seeds, have five times the amount as much of the neonicotinoid insecticides in many cases. But there's also now evidence that glyphosate, or the active ingredient in Monsanto's Roundup, may be exacerbating the bee deaths. The BT toxin that produces this, it's a toxin that kills certain insects, that might compromise the immune system of bees. So first of all, I want to say, yes, there is some evidence that genetically engineered crops may be exacerbating the bee deaths, which we know are related to the neonicotinoid insecticides that are coated on the seeds. But I think it's outstanding that world leaders are now standing up to the corporate-driven Environmental Protection Agency and U.S. government, which has ignored the evidence, whereas Europe has basically instituted a ban on these things. So I was very happy to see it getting high-profile coverage and attention from world leaders.
It's about time, isn't it?
Indeed. In fact, right now, we're seeing levels of attention on GMOs that are unprecedented. CNN did a 7-minute piece covering the March on Monsanto and talked about the health dangers. This is unprecedented. We've been trying to get mainstream media to talk about the health dangers. We got it on Oz, Dr. Oz. I was on twice, but that was a rarity. Now CNN picked it up. Others are talking about it. And I think the biggest piece in the media this week, in fact, to me, it is a watershed moment, was the coverage in the New York Times yesterday. And what they talked about was that companies are now scrambling. It says, food companies, big and small, are struggling to replace genetically modified ingredients with conventional ones. And it gives all these indications of a coming tipping point, essentially telling the food executives, who I'm sure have read this over and over again, that if they're still using GMOs, they may suffer dramatic loss of sales. They talk about hundreds of companies becoming non-GMO project verified. They talk about more and more companies actually going overseas to get some non-GMO ingredients that they can't get in the United States, how farmers are now getting paid more for the non-GMO products because there's a more of a demand. It really is laying out the validation of the fact that we're now in the middle of the tipping point that we've been working towards and engineering for two decades.
How long would it take to get back to the old system of planting Mother Nature seeds?
Well, you can't get there 100% because right now we have no technology to fully clean up the contaminated gene pool. So the genes already released, unless we come up with a new technology, can outlast the effects of global warming and nuclear waste. The corn that Monsanto has produced and genetically engineered with viral inserts and bacterial genes, that has already contaminated the indigenous corn varieties in Mexico, which is the source of the genetic diversity of corn on Earth. However, we can dramatically reduce the exposure to just a tiny amount. And if we don't stop GMOs, they plan to do the opposite. They plan to replace nature. In fact, Monsanto's consultant, Arthur Anderson, back in 1999, revealed that the executives of Monsanto's, their goal was to genetically engineer 100% of all commercial seeds in the world and patent them within 15 to 20 years. And now that's expanded not only to the seeds, but to insects and to fish and to animals. So if we don't stop it, they will eliminate the products of the billions of years of evolution on a permanent basis.
Will wars be fought, Jeffrey, over food?
You know, wars may have already been fought over food. And the thing is, what we know now is that there's a lot of aspects that go into food pricing and scarcity, speculation, et cetera. But right now, there is a battle going on over control of the food supply, as evidenced by the march against Monsanto. But it's the peaceful war. This was a war that was fought with singing, with creativity, with fantastic signs. I was in Denver with hundreds of people and spoke by Skype to San Diego and was reading the information from protests around the world. This was a kind of a combination of a war, a celebration, and a reclaiming. And so I think right now we are at a turning point of awareness. And I think, as I emphasize over and over again, it's really critical that the food companies read the tea leaves here, and I think they are. So I would be very surprised if we are anywhere near this situation a year from now. I think we're going to get a tipping point within the year.
All right, to the phones now we go. We'll go to Willow in Williams, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Hi, Willow. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, gentlemen. One of the things that I believe you said was that Obama had signed all of these things into law. Isn't that... couldn't that be an impeachable
offense? No,
anyway.
Probably not, Jeffrey. I don't think it's impeachable. Do you?
No, I don't think so. You see, basically, it was passed by the Congress. Obama signed it, the whole Monsanto Protection Act, which basically eviscerates the court's control over something it should have control over. I don't think it would hold up in the courts. I think the courts would declare it unconstitutional, but that's not an impeachable offense.
Okay, thanks, Willow. Appreciate your call. Next up, we go to Gordon in Lakeland, Florida. That's where the Detroit Tigers practice. Hey, Gordon, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Jeffrey, I took biology and chemistry as a double major with an emphasis on genetics. And now I know the government does bad things, like milk does not do the body good, okay? But what proof do you have that the genetic modifications they made are necessarily bad, because not all genetic modifications are bad? And secondly, why would they poison the food supply if they themselves would get poisoned? So I know it's two questions, but if you could take a stab at them, and I'll stay on the line in case you need some help clarifying.
Okay, excellent question. When you look at the animal feeding studies, as the American Academy of Environmental Medicine did in 2009, they said there's so much evidence of health dangers, gastrointestinal problems, immune system problems, infertility, organ damage, accelerated aging, that every doctor in America should prescribe non-GMO diets, because there was clearly these problems were caused by genetically engineered feed. Now, thousands of doctors have taken that advice, prescribing non-GMO diets, and they're reporting that their patients are getting better in these same categories of diseases and disorders. Furthermore, veterinarians and farmers are finding the same type of improvements in livestock that are taken off of GM soy and corn with substitution by non-GM soy and corn. Now, these same diseases and disorders have been on the rise in the U.S. population since GMOs were introduced. Moreover, if you look at the specific characteristics of the GMOs on the market, you have those that are doused with Roundup herbicide. Now, Roundup, it turns out, is very dangerous. There was a study that came out in the journal Entropy last month where the authors wrote in the abstract that the consequences of Roundup or its active ingredient glyphosate's biochemistry are most of the diseases and conditions associated with the Western diet, which include GI disorders, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression, autism, infertility, cancer, and Alzheimer's. You can go to responsibletechnology.org and watch an interview that I did with one of the scientists of this paper. And it's absolutely fascinating how this glyphosate, or the active ingredient in Monsanto's Roundup, is so dangerous. But that's not all. They also have corn that produces its own toxic insecticide, which was recently found to poke holes in human cells, end up in human bloodstream, in the unborn fetus's bloodstream, etc. It's too long of a question to go into the great detail, but I can tell you this. I have interviewed dozens and dozens of scientists and many, many more medical doctors who are convinced that not only are the current generation of GMOs bad, but maybe one of the most serious health dangers we're facing. Now, as far as how can they produce something that they themselves will eat, it's interesting that a former Monsanto scientist told me that three of his colleagues were testing the milk from cows treated with bovine growth hormone, yeah, Monsanto's drug, and they found so much cancer-promoting hormone in the milk, the three Monsanto scientists refused to drink milk thereafter unless it was organic. One bought his own cow.
And they sold off that division, didn't they?
Yes, they did, to Elanco, Eli Lilly's veterinarian division, right.
Now, the other question that Gordon had was, why would they create bad genetically modified foods that could harm you if they're eating it themselves? Are they?
Well, you know, there was a letter sent to the manager of the restaurant in Monsanto's UK headquarters asking if he was serving GMOs. And he wrote back, this was in 1999, because of concerns by our customers, we've decided to remove GM soy and corn. The customers were Monsanto. And I also heard from someone else that they knew that when Monsanto, a large group of Monsanto employees in England moved to another location for an event, and someone was with them and joked, well, they're probably going to serve us genetically engineered foods. And the person said, oh, no, don't worry. We've made special arrangements. So this was an insider information. I haven't been able to verify it, but we also know that the Bush White House was eating 100% organic in their kitchen. Laura Bush was absolutely insistent. We have an understanding that the Obama White House is probably doing something like that as well. So they don't necessarily eat these products that they produce.
Okay, let's go to Luke, first-time caller, Lewiston, Maine, first-time caller. Hi, Luke. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing, Joe?
Good, Luke. Thank you.
I wanted to bring to light a couple things, and I'll try to be as quick as possible. The first one is that I did hear recently that the Institute for Pregnancy Toxicology is actually finding genes from GMOs in unborn fetuses. I don't know if that means they're replacing genes that were already there or they're being added on to the end of the genome. Have you heard anything about that?
You know, I haven't, but we would expect that the DNA would get all over. There was a study done with mice where they fed naked DNA to pregnant mice, and fragments of that DNA ended up in the brain of the offspring. We know that the genes from genetically modified feed can end up in the different organs, but they don't know if it actually integrates into the host's DNA or just travels around benignly. We do know that the genes actually do get integrated into the gut bacteria in humans and may actually continue to function. So if you eat a genetically engineered corn chip with a gene that produces the BT toxin insecticide, if that gene were to integrate and continue functioning inside you, it might turn your intestinal flora into living pesticide factories, and that toxin is known to break holes in human cells and be an allergen.
Well, that's scary. And the second thing, that was actually an afterthought. What I originally called about is, and I hope somebody can find some more information and give it to the people. I know there are two new apps in the Android store, and they allow you to either trace back a company's parent organizations or actually scan items in a grocery store to let you know which company owns that company that makes that food and chase it all the way to the top, and whether or not there are actually GMOs present in there. And one of them is called Bicot, and the other, I'm not sure of the name, but one of them is going in and out of the store frequently because of the high number and high demand of downloads. And they're working out the bugs, so it keeps disappearing and going back into the store. And
yes, I'm aware of that. We also have an iPhone application called Shop No GMO. It's completely free. Shop No GMO lists about 10,000 products that are verified by the Non-GMO Project as non-GMO. It also lists the at-risk ingredients that you might read on the label that might be derived from genetically engineered crops and gives you basic tips to avoid it. So if you don't have an iPhone, we're going to do Android soon, you can go to non-GMOshoppingguide.com, non-GMOshoppingguide.com for the list and the tips.
You have to be thrilled to death, Jeffrey, that more and more people worldwide are beginning to speak out against GMOs.
This is amazing what I'm seeing, George. It's like I'm ready to retire. When I read the New York Times article that came out yesterday, when I saw the CNN coverage, unprecedented coverage questioning the safety of Monsanto's products, and so many people, like you say, around the world joining hands against Monsanto, I realized we are in a new world right now, and it's just a matter of time before we fully win this battle.
Well, let us hope so, Jeffrey. And give out your website and things that you do.
Okay, responsibletechnology.org, and you can see that in that interview with the doctor. Our movie, Genetic Roulette, can be found at geneticroulettemovie.com, and that turns people's diet instantly. It was Movie of the Year in 2012 and Transformational Film of the Year. And finally, non-GMOshoppingguide.com and the iPhone application, Shop No GMO.
How helpful have social networks been to this?
This was a social network phenomenon. It was just a Facebook page. There's not even a website, March Against Monsanto. It's just a Facebook page that ended up organizing the entire planet. And this demonstrates that it's like dry grass.
Remarkable.
It's a spark on dry grass, yeah.
Really is. Jeffrey, thank you again. I appreciate everything you do and all the hard work, Jeffrey Smith, on GMOs, genetically modified foods. I got to tell you, if I were in a store and you had your choice, I would take the one that was organic all the time, wouldn't you? Let's talk with Graham Hancock next. His new work is called War God, and of course, he's also written Fingerprints of the Gods. He's next on Coast to Coast AM.